Good morning, church. My name is Nathan Flieger. I'm one of the student ministry directors here at Vineyard. And I just want to thank you so much for joining us for our online service. If you're a guest with us this morning, then let us know down in the comments and we'll get you some information about the church. You can also email us at vineyard05.com and we'll get back to you with some information. We have a couple of upcoming events. We're very excited to announce that Sunday, September 6th, we're going to be returning to our in-person services here at Vineyard. This is Labor Day weekend, so be sure to mark it on your calendars. We would like to have church with as few restrictions as possible. However, we're going to be following all the guidelines laid out by the state, so we'll keep you posted as those grow and change. We have had a blast with our outdoor summer services, and our next one is going to be on August 2nd. Thank you so much for sitting through the blazing heat with us this past Sunday. We all had a good time, and I know I went home and sat in my AC for the next 3 hours to cool off, but it was worth it, well worth it. But other than that, that is all we have for you, so I'm going to pray for our service now. Father, thank you so much for everyone who's able to tune in right now. Please bless the message this morning, and I just pray that everyone has a phenomenal day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greater is the one who's in us. Greater is the one who calls our name. He will never fail. Stronger is the one within us. Stronger is the one who fights for us. He will never fail. You will never fail. For your love endures forever. Oh, your love. Open up our eyes, surround us with your light. Your love endures forever. Sing, mighty. Mighty is the one before us. Mighty is the one who's strong to say. He will make a way. You will make a way. For your love endures forever. Oh, your love endures forever. Open up our eyes, surround us with your light. Your love forever. He's fighting. Our God is fighting for us. Our God is fighting for us. Our God is fighting for us. Always. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone.
Good morning. My name is Kim Richardson. Do you remember when you were a kid at summer camp and you had to do a trust fall? Or maybe even as an adult doing a team building activity for work? A trust fall, that's where you cross your arms in front of you and you close your eyes. And the idea is that you fall backward. Maybe you're standing on a low platform and you have somebody behind you or maybe a few people, your spotters, and their job is to catch you and gently put you back up on your feet and never let you hit the ground. And the purpose of a trust fall is to build that trust between you and your spotters, your team. Now, the thing is for me, I've always, always hated doing trust falls. And I can remember being a kid at camp, being in line and waiting for my turn to come, and I'm watching the other people, and they're doing it and they're having fun. But as it gets closer to my turn, my heart's pounding, I'm sweating, I'm praying for a thunderstorm to roll in so I don't have to do it. And I don't know why I was always so afraid of it, because I'm watching everybody else do it and they're doing fine and everyone's okay. But I just always hated it. But when it would be time for my turn, I would force myself to do it. And you know what? My spotters always caught me and put me back on my feet. But you know, having that unquestioning, unwavering faith in your spotters is just really uncomfortable. The hard part about the trust fall isn't the fall. It's not letting yourself go. It's wondering what's going to happen when you get to the end of it. Are my spotters reliable? Are they strong enough to catch me? Is this some kind of trick so maybe when I close my eyes, they're going to take a step back and then laugh at me when I hit the ground? That unquestioning, unwavering faith is really difficult. It's really uncomfortable. And I think the same is true of having unquestioning faith in God. You know, having a lackluster faith is just kind of a lot easier because the expectations are a little bit lower and we don't have to give up control. But that is not at all the kind of faith that God wants for us. I think we all know someone like this, someone who, no matter what's going on in their life, no matter how much turmoil they're in, how much chaos, how much anxiety, how much things are falling apart, they manage to always say, I'm not worried about it. God's got this. He's in control. I have my faith in God. And you almost can't believe someone can have that much faith. So you almost try to rattle them. You know, you say stuff like, hey, did you read this article? Or, hey, are you looking at the bank statement? But no matter what, you can't throw them off. And that's the kind of faith that God wants us all to have. And I can say that I'm still a work in progress in that area. We're going to be starting a sermon series today called Things God Uses to Grow Our Faith. And over the next few weeks, we'll be exploring how God grows our faith and how to stay at that place of big faith. And let's face it, the times in life when our faith grows the most are times of struggle, times of unexpected challenges, things that come our way that throw us into a tailspin. That's when our faith tends to grow the most, and I think we've all been there at some point or other, where you're just starting to feel really desperate and hopeless, and you're crying out to God, and you feel yourself, you're holding on to that rope, and maybe by a thin thread, and you feel that rope starting to slip, and you're just struggling to hang in there with your faith. And all the while, I think God is actually saying, you know what, just let go of the rope. That's actually better. Let go of control. I've got this. Don't worry. And I think this is where our faith comes from and grows from the most, in times that we might be struggling and we need to actually let go of the rope. You know, faith comes from trust. Trust feeds faith. And I believe that trust comes from seeing what God is doing and what he has done, calling it to mind, knowing it, and then believing it in our heart. And I think those three things can build our trust. And as our trust grows, our faith grows. You know, the easiest, most comfortable relationships we have are relationships where trust is just super easy and effortless. You know, your relationships with your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends. When you know that people will do what they say they're going to do because they've proven themselves over and over, your trust grows to the point where you don't have to think about it anymore. I know my kids trust me. If I say I'm going to pick them up at a certain time, they don't have to worry that I'm going to show up because I always do. So that trust is already there and they don't have to think about it anymore. You know, I think trust has been an issue all the way back to the time of creation, when God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden was perfect. It had everything they could need. Food, security, God's presence with them 24/7. It was the perfect place. But, as a lot of us know the story, God told them there was one condition. God said, don't eat from this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was it. They could have everything else, but don't eat from that one tree. And the serpent, the devil, got in their heads. And he said, did God really say that? Are you sure God said that? And I think maybe what happened here is that the serpent planted that doubt, and maybe it caused Adam and Eve to question, God, are you withholding something from me? Are you sure you actually know what's best for me here? Maybe you don't. And I think maybe they started to not trust God as much as they had before, and that mistrust led to disobedience and led to sin. Does any of that sound familiar? Have you ever asked those questions? God, are you withholding something from me? Are you sure you know what's best for me? And so the situation we might find ourselves in, instead of producing bigger faith, just produces bigger anxiety because we are just not really willing to let go of control. The kind of faith God wants for us is that big, out of the box, let go of the rope, do the trust fall, I will always catch you kind of faith. And in this sermon series, we're going to explore ways to get you to that place and to stay at that place. Now we're going to take a look at a passage from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, starting in verse 5. And I love this passage. And to kind of set the scene, Jesus' name is a household word at this point. He's been doing ministry for a while. He's got crowds that follow him. He's got people coming to him for healing, for deliverance. People know who he is. His fame has spread. People follow him. So wherever he goes, there seems to be a crowd. And in this particular story, he is coming off of a mountain. He's just been teaching, and he's got crowds following him and his disciples with him. And he is approached by a centurion. A little background on a centurion. That is a Roman soldier who has risen through the ranks because of his military prowess and his bravery, and he is now an overseer of 100 soldiers under him. So he has authority over 100 men. And the centurions in Jerusalem were the invaders. They were the bad guys. They were policing the area and imposing taxes and just not a welcome sight. So that's where we're going to pick up the story. This is Matthew chapter 8, and we are going to start in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all Israel. I'm going to skip down to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. You know, try to picture this scene. Here is basically an enemy, the Roman centurion, approaching Jesus. And I have to think that the disciples and maybe the crowd were kind of like, ooh, getting a little nervous. What does he want? Is there about to be trouble? Or maybe they were just kind of annoyed. Here we go. But actually, the centurion's question was really unexpected. Jesus, will you please heal my servant? He is sick, he's paralyzed, he's tormented. And Jesus' response is immediate. Yes, I will go with you to your home. In an act of humility, this Roman centurion, who's in a place of authority, says, I'm not worthy for that. You don't even have to do that. You can just do it from here. And he finds something that he has in common with Jesus. See, he's been watching Jesus. He sees that Jesus has authority. He sees what Jesus has been doing. He knows it, and he believes it. And he says, Jesus, I have people in authority, or I'm in authority with people under me. I tell people to do this, and they do it. They have to obey. And I see you tell sickness and disease to go, and it has to obey. And I operate under the authority of someone greater than me. I operate under the authority of Rome. Jesus, you must operate under the authority of someone greater than you. The centurion gets it. He gets the big picture. He's been watching Jesus, and Jesus' response is the only time you will hear him say this in any of the Gospels. He's amazed. He is amazed and astonished at the centurion's great faith. And he says, as you have believed, I will do it. And he does it that very hour. That's the kind of faith I want. The faith that is watching Jesus, seeing what he's doing, putting it into head knowledge and recalling it to mind, and then putting it into heart faith. That is the kind of faith that God wants for all of us. Jesus is excited about that kind of faith. The faith that says, no matter what's going on around me, no matter how much of a tailspin I'm in or how much turmoil I'm in, God, I know that you can untangle this mess, and I'm just going to let you do it. I'm going to let go of control, let you take control, let go of this rope, and let you do what you do best. And he might not do it in the way that we would have imagined, but his way always has our best interest at heart. And you know, over the years, as we watch Jesus do that for us, as we watch Jesus move on our behalf, and as we put that to head knowledge, that becomes part of our testimony, part of our story that we carry with us, that gets added to all the time. And you know, I believe that our testimony is meant to grow our own faith, because we can look back at things God has done over the years and recall those to mind and say, God, I remember when you showed up here. I remember when you showed up, and I'm having a problem right now, but you took care of this last time, and I believe you're going to take care of it this time too. And our testimony becomes the thing that helps our faith to grow. And in turn, also can help other people's faith to grow when we share it, because you'd be surprised how many people out there might be going through the exact same thing you are. You know, earlier I said, our faith grows the most when we're in a time of crisis. And I want to close with a testimony of my own where God grew my faith exponentially. Years ago, I was just in a really dark place of dealing with anxiety and depression. And if you've ever been in that place, you know that you cannot categorize it with words. It is crippling, it is debilitating, and it controls your life, and it is not something you would ever choose, but it's also not something you can control. And it probably lasted for a few months, but in that time, it seemed like an eternity. And the way I always just felt was, it's almost like you feel like you're at the bottom of the ocean, and you know how when you're underwater and you're trying to look up for the surface to go up and get some air, but in this case, you feel like you're stuck under the ocean and you can't even see the surface. And you wonder if you're ever going to make it out of that. And you know, the best I could do at that time was I got myself to work and I got myself home. But the rest of the time I was in tears and having anxiety attacks and not sleeping and not eating and just completely irrational. And you know, I would come to church and believe it or not, I would just hide in the bathroom until service was supposed to start. And then when church was over, I would just leave as soon as possible, because you lose all sense of what to do and how to act and how to be normal. And that was a really, really dark time for me. And I felt like it was never going to end. But you know, God showed up. God showed up in a big, undeniable way. And the reason it was so undeniable was because people showed up that I really didn't know. People showed up in my life that God put there specifically to help me come out of that time. And it started with a couple ladies here at church, Chris and Janet. And Chris and Janet kind of took me under their wing and reached out to me and started to pray with me on a regular basis. And then they invited me to a Bible study. I didn't know anyone at this Bible study. I really didn't even want to go to it, but it was one of those things where it was like, you know what? Why not? So I kind of forced myself to go, not really expecting much, just really, really struggling. And a lady that was leading this Bible study, her name was Beth, and Beth could tell that I was struggling, and she also took me under her wing. And she had invited someone else that night, my friend Aaron Garcia. And Aaron Garcia shared her testimony that night at that Bible study that I didn't really want to go to. And Aaron's testimony was that she, too, struggled with anxiety and depression at one point in her life. And she shared with how God brought her out of that. And to be honest, I don't even remember what she said, and I'm not sure how much of it really sunk in. I just knew that at that moment, there was a little bit of a glimmer of hope. It was like, still at the bottom of the ocean, but looking up and seeing the sun at the top and thinking, okay, well, at least I know which way is up. And so I went to Erin after this Bible study. I don't even think I told her my name. And I just said, hey, I really need to talk to you. Can we have coffee? And she took my number. And the very next day she called me and said, let's go to Panera. And we went to Panera, and Erin listened. Erin shared her story and she listened to mine. And something about all of that interaction just caused something to kind of burst open for me. And that began the healing process. And it wasn't immediate. It took a little time, but it was pretty soon after. And I really have always known and believed that God put those four ladies, and particularly Erin, in my life at that moment, people that I hadn't known before, he put them there at the right time to be my spotters. And they showed up. And they weren't going to let me go or hit the ground. And they hung in there with me until they were sure I was back on my feet again. And that part of my life grew my faith exponentially. And now when I'm in a place where I might start to worry and start to struggle, I call that to mind. I come back to that and I say, God, I saw what you did there. I know it. I can recall it. I believe it. That has grown my faith. You know, I have a kind of an anchor verse that I come back to a lot, and it's Psalm 116, verse 7, and it says this: be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And to me, that verse says, stop struggling, Kim. Let go of the rope. Do the trust fall. You've done it before. Come back to that place, because God has been good to you over and over. And that's what I try to call to mind. And that grows my faith. So I really want to encourage you in these next few weeks to join us, because you're going to hear a lot about ways that God will grow your faith and just how to stay at that place. And I really feel like for some of you, this is your moment. You know, some big faith is about to burst open, and maybe symbolically it's time for you to do the trust fall. So I want you to hang on to that verse, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you, because God wants nothing more than a relationship with you that is effortless, knowing that you can trust him at every moment. He is not going to let you fall. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have shown us example and after example of your trustworthiness. We don't have to doubt, because you are always right there. And God, I just pray that this sermon touches hearts and helps us to just not be afraid to do the trust fall, God, to let go of the rope symbolically, and that our faith starts to grow. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for this sermon, I really felt like for some people, this might be your moment, that if you're kind of struggling with trusting in God and letting your faith grow, that this sermon series is going to be a turning point for you. And so I'm going to pray for you today. If that is you, I'm going to pray for you that this series helps you develop that trust that turns into faith. And also, I feel led to pray for if there's anyone out there that might have a similar struggle to the one I had with anxiety and depression. We want to pray for you, and please know that you have a church full of spotters here that will help you through that. And just reach out. You can send us a Facebook message. If you send it to the church, there's only one or two people that actually see that. You can send me a message, but don't go it alone, because you have spotters here that will carry you through this. And also, I feel that I have a word for Becky Roshan. So Becky, hopefully you will get to see this, but Becky, I think that God really wants you to know that you are beautiful and you are loved and you are his precious daughter. And he's tremendously proud of all the things you're trying to do right now. And he's in there with you in this. And I feel like he might be saying, you know what, just do the trust fall. Becky, I got you. He's going to catch you, and your church full of spotters is too. So, Becky, if that resonates with you, I hope so. And I'm going to pray right now. Father, I thank you, God, that this series is positioned to really help some people. And I just pray for anybody out there who might be struggling with trusting you, that you would just show up, God, that you would help them to recall to mind things that you've done in the past, and that they will be able to just hold on to that, and that trust would grow and burst forward into faith. And I pray that you would use this sermon series to just produce an explosion of faith through a whole church, God. And I pray for anybody else out there who maybe is struggling with anxiety and depression. God, I know firsthand how crippling that is, and I speak against that. God, I pray for anyone in this situation that you would just give them the courage to reach out to us, that we will help them through that. We'll be their spotters, and God, we know that you were right there and that with them, and we pray for healing. We speak healing over anybody that's struggling with that, God. And I also just want to pray a special prayer for Becky, God, that she feels your presence and that word speaks to her heart, God. And I thank you so much, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go into our time of offering. And just so you know, there are a few ways that you can give. There is the give page on our website, which is vineyard05.com. You can also text to give. And you could also just drop your check off at the church or cash throughout the week. The office is open. Or you could put it in the mail even. And we just want to thank all of you who've been faithfully giving. And we had a nice turnout at our outdoor service last week. We thank you for all the tithes and offerings that were given that day. So I'm going to pray for our offering right now. Father, may your hand bless this money that is given to the church. May you multiply it. May we use it to bless our community, bless our church, and bless the missions that we support. And we thank you, God, for our church family and all those that are giving to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, and brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Ocean. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am no longer captive to the lies. I'm not. afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. There's power. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Stand in your love, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing in your love. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth. Oh, the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Oh, the earth, oh, the earth. Oh, the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, great are you, Lord. Oh, we sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
We're going to leave you with a blessing. Please raise your hands up. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great week. We love you. Tune in next week.